July 6, 2022. It's the Wife for Pedro show.
Who had you worked with before you worked with Miles and he had the Red and Paul and Philly Joe? And who had you been with before that?
Well, you want the whole string of
if you can't like that.
Man, let's see.
I know one thing is for sure and certain. You work with an awful lot of people.
Yeah, I did.
And it spread out over a pretty good span of time.
Yeah.
Wow.
7 days without love makes 1 week. A man can stand on his own two feet. He can't do his job, can't get a sleep. 7 days without love makes 1 week. The first day is quiet. Tired of being by yourself. 7 days without love makes 1 week. A man can't stand on his own two feet. He can't do his job, can't get no sleep. 7 days without love makes 1 week. The fourth day, same old thing. Sitting there waiting for that phone to ring. The fifth day is a crying shame. Walking in circles, calling out the name of the sixth day. Gonna lose your mind. 7 days without love makes 1 week. A man can stand on his own two feet. He can't do his job, can't get no sleep. 7 days without love makes 1 week. You're a nervous wreck ever since she left. Another week goodbye. You think you're gonna die.
Wife for Pedro show. Happy Wednesday, Brother Matt.
Yeah.
We have a good time at Brother Vince Giobbe's pad.
That was wonderful, man. Right? You got the most righteous spot in town.
Well, what? He's only a couple blocks from here.
Yeah. I don't have to drive. I don't have to park.
Right.
Love my neighbors.
But the difference is you face west, so no harbor shot at a fucking Hanabi firework. Whereas he has got a rooftop perch where we had 360. We could see him off Avalon and Catalina.
Everywhere. Long Beach, Avalon, all across Pedro to L.A.
Actually, the Pedro Newport ones over Cabrillo in the background where the Strong Beach was.
Yeah, Strong Beach down into O.C.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's the civilian ordinance.
Yeah, there was plenty of that.
That was plenty of that. Outweighed the fucking.
The civilians aren't
shy. What
were
you saying? Your buddy said the official ones are $1,000 a minute.
Yeah.
Right. Now, what do you think the civilians are spending?
Man, some of them are forking it up. They're not shy.
Just hopefully nobody's house gets burned up.
It seemed like around here it lasts a couple months building up to it, then a couple months to.
Right. Last night I heard some after effect. Anyway, look, let's talk about, let's start the show off with John Coltrane talking to August Bloom in 1958 about who he worked with before working with Miles Davis. A little blurb there, but just to hear John Coltrane's voice. And then we had Ben Vaughn, 7 Days Without Love. Speaking of which, we got all the way from S&M here in California.
You know, I don't think I've ever been played back to back with John Coltrane before. Thank you.
That's why we wanted you on the show, Brother Ben. We got to give a big thanks to Howard Wolfen for making the connect too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Howard.
Brother Ben, please bring your earliest musical recollection.
Wow. Well, I grew up in New Jersey, in Camden, New Jersey, and when I was
Walt Whitman is buried there. His last pad was there.
That's true. That is true. Walt Whitman. Oh, did you? Yeah. Yeah.
The park ranger, man, he looks so square jawed and shit, but it just taught me not to judge people. After he gave his spiel downstairs, we're going to go upstairs, and he looks at me and he goes, "Now you grab that handrail as we're going up, because you know his DNA's in that handrail."
Whoa, whoa.
Yeah, okay, Camden, you grew up?
Yeah, Camden, interesting town. RCA had about 25 buildings in Camden, and they pretty much owned that city. It was a company town, and everyone in my family, on both sides of my family, worked at RCA Victor, which became RCA Camden. And one of those people was my uncle, who was a rock and roll nut in the 50s, and when I was 6 years old, he worked at the pressing plant at RCA, and they were allowed to take free records when they left the building at the end of the night, and he picked up a Duane Eddy record and brought it home and gave it to me.
Right?
Yeah. Twisting and twanging.
I do recall seeing a bunch of old Campbell Soup buildings, too. Maybe they were in Camden also.
They were. The world headquarters and the factory, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe it's better working at the record plant than the soup plant. Unless you need a buttload of salt.
Exactly.
So that's what you remember first is Duane Eddy. That's a great memory, Bill.
Yeah, he gave me this record. It was just before the Beatles, you know. So I was a rock and roll nut. I was really young, obviously, 6 years old, but I listened to that Duane Eddy record probably about, you know, 1,000 times before the Beatles appeared on Ed Sullivan. So I was confused that people sang, you know, like, oh, people sing too? Because Duane Eddy is, you know, instrumental music.
Absolutely.
But I was a rock and roll fanatic from, you know, right away. And Camden is right across the street, across the river from Philadelphia.
Absolutely.
And doo-wop.
Ben Franklin Bridge.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. I used to walk over that bridge and go into Philly.
I got to tell you, when you get to the Pennsylvania side, though, that sculpture with the lightning bolt going to the key, it's kind of new. It's kind of bunk, too. I think there's a mothball fleet in Philly, too.
Oh.
Yeah,
I don't think that sculpture's new anymore. It's probably 40 years old at this point.
Oh, okay.
But still controversial. Like, is it good art or not?
Man, it's kind of bunk.
Yeah.
You know, it's maybe a little too literal, or I don't know what about. Public art is a tough thing. We got a thing here in Pedro with a guy coming down from a Jacob ladder to get a guy out of the water, and the guy's going to let go of his life jacket. I thought that's pretty bitchin'. It's for the Merchant Marine. But
wow.
Public art, you know, usually it's a giant paperclip in front of a bank or some shit. Yeah, so. Okay, in the pad you grew up, Ben, was there musical instruments? Was your brother rocking the guitar?
No, no music in my house at all.
Okay,
I was...
What about grade school, the choir, the marching band, shit like that?
No, I started playing drums when I was 12 in a garage band where we played Louie Louie, and we didn't do it ironically.
Of course not. Well, it's actually a Calypso song, right, Richard Berry?
Originally, yeah.
Yeah, Sam's got to get back on the boat. Liberty's over.
Yeah,
what was the first record you bought with your own money?
Twist and Shout by the Beatles.
Yeah, that's one of John Entwistle's favorite bass lines. No, Going to the Go-Go. Yeah, James Jamerson, so... Isley Brothers, Twist and Shout, right? Yeah. But, oh, no, you said Beatles, right?
Yeah, the Beatles,
I'm wrong. I think it's Ringo's birthday tomorrow.
Is it really?
Today he would be or like... tomorrow, like he's in his 80s now, right? Tom Watson, I know, is tomorrow. He turns 6-0.
Right.
Tom Watson. Yeah, I played with him now 21 years.
Bitching.
Yeah.
Wow.
Much respect. So, and what was the first gig you saw, Ben?
The Four Tops.
Yeah.
Right on.
Great, man. One of the... I think the longest band now standing with the original, because ZZ Top lost Billy, Dusty Road.
Yeah.
And so that's never changed a member.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the band lives on, but like you'll have like one cat, the assistant hair tech or something. Yeah.
Well, it's usually, and the drummer is always the son of one of the original members.
That's right. That's Although with Van Halen, it was the guitar man.
Yeah.
They kicked him out for playing with Sammy, Mike Anthony, right? He's playing with Sammy. Okay, so how did you said you got into playing drums with this garage band, but what of all the instruments to play, why drums?
I was watching some guys rehearse, and their drummer didn't show up, and they said, why don't you get back there and bang around and see what happens? And I immediately, it was weird because I'd never played drums before, but we were playing Last Time by the Stones, and I just started playing drums, and they said, wow.
Charlie Watts.
Do you want to do a gig with us? So I didn't even own a drum kit. They would take this other guy's drum kit because he had a girlfriend and disappeared from the scene and left his drums there. So they they would cart this drum kit around, and I would show up, the 12-year-old kid, you know, they were older, and I would play drums, and every now and then they would let me come out from the drum kit and sing Wine, Wine, Wine. You know, you get a nickel, I'll get a dime, we'll go. And I'm like, you know, for a 12-year-old kid.
It's like get a wine spodiote.
Yeah. But a 12-year-old kid singing about getting drunk.
Yeah, I know.
It was a novelty. And the crowd always went nuts. And I thought, wow, I should probably get out front. I should learn how to play guitar and get out front.
Either that or an accordion, do a weird Al Yankovic thing. Actually, Yankovic people, they don't know about the little V over the C. You know. But you come to Pedro, we can educate you. So you're fucking doing gigs at 12 years old, and you're kind of the yuck-yuck act, but you're learning how to play by playing.
Yeah, learning how to keep people on a dance floor, because we played dances. And they told us, if you don't get people on the dance floor, we're not going to invite you back. So my earliest days were playing a lot of just danceable songs. And Philly was a big dance town because of American Bandstand and everything.
That's right.
It still is a big dance town.
That's right.
And doo-wop was, and like the mashed potato and all that kind of stuff, that stuff was still all over the place. Even going into the psychedelic 60s, you still, when you played a gig, you had to play, you know, Let's Stomp by Bobby Comstock and the Counts, which you may not be familiar with, but if you grew up in my if you grew up in my area, that's like people think that was a number one hit record around the world, and it wasn't. It just was played constantly on Philly radio. So it really had a good background. Philly was a great place to grow up because soul music, you know, Gamble and Huff.
I was going to just say there was a soul. The Temps had, what was that, Cloud Nine? There was a kind of cross between psychedelic and soul.
Right there, there was,
it's called Solid Rock, the album.
It's
great. You open it up, and it's a picture of the producer. Good old days, right?
Well, I wish that happened with me.
Look, I want to play something from you, this M Motor vehicle, okay?
Mama Mia. I got a 1965 Rambler American baby, aren't you impressed? Sure, I could have a Dodge 280Z, but I'm not like all the rest. I got a mama mama motor vehicle. I got a mama mama motor vehicle. I got a mama 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 motor vehicle. Yeah, I got a motor vehicle, baby. Won't you ride with Mama Mia? You're gonna flip when you see that highway line rolling by through the hole in the floor. Come on and hop in the passenger side, baby, but make sure you really slam that door. I got a mama mama motor vehicle. I got a mama mama motor vehicle. I got a mama mama motor vehicle. I got a mama to rival Mamma Mia.
or early morning. Quiet, listen to the breeze. Open desert, jagged peaks, caves beneath, hidden in the ground. Water drips, hidden wonders. Entropy, the second law. Entropy is with time. Entropy, friends I have known. Entropy, a lover's embrace.
So Eden,
much when he went away. Your best friend wrote and told me that they found him today, lying all alone in his car on the side of the highway.
Daddy's gone for good.
He's gone for good.
Daddy's gone for good.
He's gone for good. He believed with all his heart, 1,000 miles away from making a brand new start. He waited for the moment when he could hold you tight. He had your picture in his wallet when they found him that.
For Pedro Show, that chunk of music, it started off Ben Vaughn, M Motor Vehicle. Am I pronouncing it right? Is it M Motor or is it Motor?
Motor Vehicle.
Okay, yeah.
What's
that dialect called, Brother Matt? Gack?
Gack?
Here in Speedro, we got that kind of dialect. I think that's what they were doing with the My Generation, right? They're on the blues, Sophie and shit. And then Bombas Prennan, brand new from them. D.C. area, just corporate. This band's been around 40 years. They've recorded like 6,000-7,000 songs, and they've only done 5 gigs. You know, kind of a Dan thing. And then Agnes Stack out of Texas with Backward Flown. Gebedon, brand new out of Athens, Georgia. This is Mike Patton, not the Faith No More. Well, he wasn't even original of them, but Mr. Bungle, right? Now, this is the Mike Patton from the middle class who produced the Adolescence record. And he moved to Athens, Georgia, and he got back into music. He was running the Orange County bus system for like 30 years.
Wow.
Raised a family. Now it's time to get back to bass and singing. He used to sing for Eddie and Subtops. Girls and Synthesis, brand new, enveloped out of Germany. God Dog. Lady Neptune, brand new, Wit. Day Mary, a brand new La Nueva Era. XV, not brand new, but all ladies. Waits on. This is brand new. Lamb Predanto and Mark Stewart, a singer of the pop group Some Italian Cats. A tune called Lo-Fi Waste. And now the title unknown is here, but it was an improv thing at the Chapel of the Chimes in Oakland, California a couple weeks ago. It was Carl Stone, Paul Drescher, Joel Devel. And I got to tell you, Carl Stone had a show on KPFK in the 70s here called Imaginary Landscapes, Friday nights. I got turned on to all kinds of trippy music. Named after, what's that guy's name?
Oh, John Cage.
That Imaginary Landscape is the name of one of his pieces. And finally, Ben Vaughn, Daddy's Gone for Good. Okay, so what was this band called? Well, you were the drummer, man. You were the star, the younger. What did they call it? Benjamin? Like a little guy, right, in the band, the junior?
We were called the Derelicts.
So the drunk tune fit, right, okay.
But
so,
we spelled it with L-I-C-K-S, you know, licks, you know, Derelicts. Yeah.
How does that, how many years do you play with them, Cats?
Well, we kept changing our name, we changed our name to Tomato for a while, and we had two drummers, and, you know, kind of went through the hard rock. Tried to be hard rock, but I wasn't the right guy for that. I just have never been, because my whole thing began with swinging the beat, you know. And
Dwayne so, Eddy.
Yeah, Dwayne Eddy and the Twist and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I realized that my talent was an older art form, you know, like the more, you know, anachronistic rock and roll. So the 70s were not, I didn't know what to do in the early 70s. So I dropped out. I wasn't playing with anybody, and I was writing songs, but I wasn't showing them to anybody because I
okay,
didn't know.
Okay, let me understand here. Are you still playing the drum set they're schlepping around, or did you get your own?
Oh, I switched over to guitar by the time I was 15.
Oh, okay. Because I was wondering. No, I'm really interested in that. Guys writing songs on drums. You know, Chico Hamilton couldn't get songwriting credits.
Well, that's why I, and he should, because his drumming is obviously compositional.
Totally.
But, amazing. I learned how to play guitar so I could write songs.
Now,
that was why I learned.
How did you learn, and what was your first guitar?
Well, again, I didn't own an instrument. The household I grew up in, my dad said, until your grades get better, you're not allowed to have a musical instrument in the house. And I was a hoodlum. And getting good grades meant I would lose status as a hoodlum.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So talk about conflict, teenage conflict.
Right.
Like the hoodlums admire me, but I'm not allowed to have a guitar because if I get good grades, I lose the, you know, so like I every day after school, there was a department store called Corvettes on the East Coast, and they had, up in the appliance department, they had a rack of like 5 Silvertone acoustic guitars.
Silvertone.
Yeah,
these are the Dan Electros that were made for Sears.
Yeah, they had those too.
The amp in the case.
Yeah. But they also had songbooks up there, and a friend of mine wanted to learn how to play lead guitar, so we would go up there every day after school, and he would teach me how to play rhythm so he could practice lead on top of my rhythm.
Yeah.
And every day for about a year, we went up there, and the woman who ran that department, I'll never forget her name was Grace.
Yeah.
And she thought we were the cutest thing she had ever seen. You know, these two 15-year-old kids coming in every day trying to get good on the instruments. She was, like, really a great person. And by the end of that year, you know, I'm playing in front of audiences on guitar.
Now, in a way, yeah, like kind of loaning out their stuff to you.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
Know, that's so bitchin'. Other dudes were like, you either buy it or you get the fuck out.
Yeah. And it was really funny because, you know, my dad, he heard me playing guitar once. Somebody brought a guitar over and he heard me playing and he got mad because he realized that I went behind his back and learned how to play.
Yeah. Do you remember the first gig you played on guitar?
Yeah, I do. It was a dance for Smart Set, which was an anti-drug program for teenagers, and we did speed before we went on stage.
Yeah,
so.
Of course, without saying.
And they were like, and we were still playing. They said, you know, the dance is over and no one's here. And we're like, we just want to keep playing.
Yeah, right. Keep it going. So would you call that gig a success?
Well, internally, yes. In my mind. You know,
I'm interested in the material. Were you writing songs yet?
I was, but we weren't playing them. We were doing, I forget what we were playing, like Canned Heat songs, I think.
Yeah, of course.
Because, you know, banana, dance, 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 bam, banana, banana. You know, you do that for 15 minutes, you know.
Going out to the country, we were talking about that, right? But it's got flute going through the whole fucking thing.
I know. You
and
know,
the dude, he's like this blues scientist from Boston, right? The
exactly.
Owl boy.
Yeah.
He died in a conch sack in Topanga, ate too many downs.
I saw Canned Heat once, and back in like 1969, I guess it was. And Larry Mole did not show up.
Oh, the bass man.
Yeah, Larry Taylor, who I was the guy I wanted to see.
Well, yeah. We just lost him a couple of
years. Yeah, that guy was amazing.
He was Tom Waits' right-hand man for a long time.
Because
I played with Steve Hodges, the drummer on Rain Dogs and stuff, and he told me his thing with Larry. It was very close.
Larry played with John Mayall, too.
Players. Shit, who did not play with John Mayall?
I think we did. I don't know. I don't know. I don't remember. I might have.
A lot of dudes in the England blues rock thing did. God damn.
Yeah.
Big time. So what happens after high school? Do you want to pursue music in an education mode or learn by doing?
No, what happened with me is I graduated high school in 1973, and like Aqua Lung and Emerson, Lake and Palmer and Edgar Winter Group, all that kind of stuff was happening, and I couldn't relate to it, you know.
Keyboard.
Yeah, keyboards in Prague, and the time signatures were too complicated for my brain, you know. And so I dropped out of playing live, and what I did is that's when I started listening to country records and blues records and jazz. And I went into self-education mode for a few years there where I just hibernated, and I listened to where all my favorite music originally came from and worked my way back. Which was, looking back, that was a really smart move.
Yeah. And get caught up in the trendy, go for what feels right.
Yeah. And now I had an education. I had like an arsenal of knowledge. So when I would write songs, there were chord changes that made me feel good, or certain licks on guitar or lyrical phrases. Like I really got into country music, Roger Miller and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And also, Because when I was in high school, my favorite records were the Flamin' Groovies and the MC5 and the Stooges, you know. And that was all done by 1973. They had all burned out. And all that was left was like dinosaur rock, and I didn't have a feel for it. You know, I didn't hate it. I just didn't have a feel for it.
Sure.
As a musician.
And you know what? We're at the end of the first hour. July 6, 2022, edition Watt Pedro Show, special guest Ben Vaughn. Hold tight for hour two. July 6, 2022, it's the second hour of the Watt Pedro Show.
Limo to play no rock and roll. I don't need no stretch limo to play no. I sang in the street for many years, and I would not rule it out for my future. We sang Wonderwall, we sang Desire. Beyond fashion, I stumbled about a weapon.
Somewhere a group of knuckle draggers are. was wrong. When you look her in the eye, don't be shy. You don't need no secret sign. Just say what's on your mind. And if you do, true love will come to you. That's why I'm telling you that Wayne Fontana was wrong.
He was wrong.
Wayne Fontana was wrong. So wrong. Love ain't a game. You can play all day long. Even though I love his song, Wayne Fontana was wrong. To hide the love you feel inside, just wear it on your sleeve so she can see it and believe. If you lay it on the line, she'll be yours in time. I know I'm repeating myself, but Wayne Fontana was wrong.
He was wrong.
Wayne Fontana was wrong.
So wrong.
Love ain't a game you can play all day long. No, even though I love his song, Wayne Fontana was wrong.
He 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 was wrong.
So 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 wrong.
What from Pedro Show, we start off the second hour with Ben Vaughn and Dean Ween. He's New Jersey, right?
Yeah, well, New Hope, PA. Which
That's
is right.
right across the river from Lambertville.
Yeah.
I just got to play New Hope for the first time. There's Ben and whatever, not Ben and Jerry, but John and Paul or something. A club from the 70s, yeah.
John and Peters.
John and Peters, that's right. I'm so sorry.
I love that place. It's like 1970. It died, like, it's like they haven't changed anything in that club since 1974. Like, they still have stained glass and like wicker.
That's
you know?
Right. That's right. I was just there a couple months ago. And across the river, Lambertville, that's where Bob Lee's from. Put all his drums in a station wagon, just came out to Cali. No, lure or anything. I'm just going to go there and read the recycler and find a band. He found Joe Dean and Crosby. Then we had Ben Salter out of Tasmania with Desire. Sam Locke Ward out of Iowa City, not you. Organs, brand new out of Ireland with Stones. Blood Quartet, brand new out of Barcelona. Angel of the Odd. Chat Pile. Okay. With Y, that's brand new. Medicine Singers, brand new. My Brother, a lot of brand new shit. Ray Shin, brand new. Long Beach Loop. And finally, probably not brand new, Ben Vaughn. Wayne Fontana was wrong.
That is brand new.
It is actually. Brand new. So, people, we had a big block of music there that's all brand new. Okay, let's continue on the journey. All this self-study you were doing.
Yeah, and I really got into, you know, Lead Belly and... And I really got into jazz, like deep into jazz, and then I guess around I also taught myself how to play mandolin and banjo. I really got into bluegrass. I played harmonica since I was a kid, like blues harmonica, which is great if you're playing in a biker bar. Because right when they're about ready to kick your ass, if you play the blues, the next thing you know, they're buying you shots. You know, it's instant.
Speaking of canned heat, Bob Height, the big man, right? Everybody thought that Captain Beefheart song, "Give Me That Hop, Boy." That ain't no fat man. They thought it was about him, but if you read the Mike Barnes bio book on the Captain, he had a fucking blowout. A dually with Little Walter in the head at the whiskey.
Oh, man.
And that's what the tune's about. Wow. Nothing to do with Bob Height.
Wow.
Badass.
So if you meet somewhere in the future, Lil Walter, you have that harp with you, Ben Vaughn. Because it ain't no fat man's toy. Okay, so you learn all this stuff, but you're man alone. You're not playing with any cats.
That's right. Just kind of getting together with some people, but not doing any gigs. And then when punk showed up, I was like, oh, wow. Three chords, we're back, you know. And I was a huge rockabilly fan, so I liked the Cramps a lot right away. I loved the Cramps.
Songs
and
chord tones.
Yeah, and then I heard the first Suicide album, and that completely blew my mind.
Frankie Teardrop is one of the most. Still, I get shivers from Frankie Teardrop.
Oh man, amazing! And I became friends with Alan Vega. We recorded together. We made a record together.
Is that right? I got to meet him once. He opened for the Stooges when James Williamson came on board, and he was so beautiful to me.
Oh, really nice guy. You know,
he was an artist, and he saw Stooges, and he said, "Man, I want to sing in a band."
Yeah, that's true. That's true. How did you
meet him?
I was at a club in New York City in the early 80s with a girlfriend, and she knew that I was a Suicide fanatic. And she went to use the ladies' room and ran into and spotted Alan Vega in the crowd. So she told him, "Wait here, don't go anywhere. I'm going to bring somebody back who you need to meet." And she grabbed me and just pulled me over and, like, pushed me into him. And said, "This is Ben Vaughn. This is Alan Vega. You guys need to know each other." And he was so nice.
You know what's really bitching, Ben? You were saying, like, you couldn't relate to that prog stuff and stuff, and so you're teaching yourself bluegrass and all this. But then you're a big Suicide man. It's just Martin Rev on the little cart. Deep down in your foundation, music is music, and you're not really into genre.
Well, that's really true. And also, Suicide, everything was basically one chord.
Right, right.
And that's what I related to, that repetition,
Kind of blue.
And I liked experimental music a lot, like Music Concrete and all that. Like, I really went deep during my research years, and I really got into Terry Riley and all that stuff. That was... not pretending to be rock music, So it was. I like the repetition. I like the hypnosis. I like music that just kind of stays on one chord and the intensity builds. Velvet Underground, because of the repetition. I really like that a lot. So Suicide to me was a revelation.
Yeah, yeah. So when the punk movement comes, you make a band?
Eventually, yeah. I started playing drums in a punk band in Philly called the Sick Kids.
Okay.
And we would open for the Cramps every time they came down from New York. And I don't know if we were popular. People would leave while we were playing, and we thought that was a good thing.
Success.
Exactly. Like, how many people are out on the sidewalk now? 20. Awesome. Yeah.
Now, did Sick Kids record?
We did. We did. Produced by Lux and Ivy, actually.
Wow.
We cut some stuff in 81, I think it was. And then I started showing my songs to people finally, and I got a really good reaction. And Marshall Crenshaw recorded one of my songs, and that put me on the map, and I was able to quit my job as a landscaper and go full-time,
And so what do you do? But not on drums, right? Guitar and singing?
Yeah.
Okay. And what was that band called? Just the Ben Vaughn Band?
The Ben Vaughn Combo.
Ben Vaughn Combo. That rolls right off the tongue.
Yeah.
Yeah, and do you remember the first Ben Vaughn Combo gig?
I do. It was at Folk City in New York.
Yeah, Bob Dylan.
Yeah, yeah. And we played 1983, and I got mentioned in the New York
Times. Was it Folk City or was it Folk City West?
Folk City, it was just called.
Okay, because they made another one called Folk City West, and that was the first time Minutemen played in New York City. It was 1983, a place called Folk City West.
That would have been the same place, because there were two that was the second location. That might have been, that might have been referred to it that way, yeah. Oh, then you played, you know.
I got more Alzheimer than you, but I trust you.
I was just going to ask, I bet the Minutemen, you must have played Folk City the night after City Gardens in Trenton, because that's usually the thing.
Yeah, of course, but we were with Black Flag, and they, what was it called, Great Gildersleeves or something? And Allen Ginsberg came to the gig and was foaming on Hank and shit. And then we had our own gig the next night. And that was at Folk City West.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. But that was my first gig, and I got written up in the New York Times the next day.
Oh, great.
So that was when I quit my job as a landscaper.
And did you go on tour?
Yeah, we toured constantly in the 80s, up until right around, well, going into like 1990.
And at this time you were living in Philadelphia?
Yeah, New Jersey, in Camden.
In Camden,
Across the river.
Across the river.
And my records did okay in America on the college radio circuit, but they did really well in Europe, in Spain and France and Italy. So I started touring over there more than I did in America at that point, going back.
There was a lot of that going on in the 80s.
Yeah, it was great because bands like the Fleshtones,
right,
or
Fleshtones, or just somebody who couldn't get a crowd here, they could do really well over there.
Yeah, and also Alan Vega was a star there.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and Alex Chilton and Jonathan Richmond, the usual suspects. I was right in there with them, you know, as my record sold well over there. I would go over there and appear on TV and all that jazz. So that's what I was doing.
Cool. Thank you very much, Ben. Now it's time for Brother Matt to bring his spin cycle.
And now, here we go with a little spin cycle.
Shade you are. We keep reaching for the sun and the moon and the New life replaces old life. Sometimes you wish old life didn't have to go. New life can be a new baby, a new love, a new song, a new dog. New life makes you tired.
That's it, J.D. Pincus wrapping up some Spin Cycle.
Brother yeah. Matt.
Yeah, we did it.
What did you, why did you bring what you brought?
Well, it had something to do with Ben Vaughn, I could say. He had
our
bluegrass. Guest. Yeah, had some bluegrass comments, so got some Billy Strings in there. And had some Jonathan Hall with the Motorcycle Black Madonna.
Right.
had Bon Bon in there because right, I saw Paloma at your gig the other night and had such a cool chat with her. That was off of Spike.
At the Browery West.
Yeah, Quintron was in there. That was cool. You guys Brother rocked Quintron. It. That was really bitching. Thanks for that.
Getting more together. We need a little more prac. But probably the best sound we've had in that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
thanks to the sound man, Dan.
Dan did a great job.
And finally?
Oh, J.D. Pincus wrapped it up.
That's right.
Yeah, because we were chatting about
him. Bass man turned banjo man.
Banjo, psychedelic banjo.
You got the
banjo.
Witness at the Dean.
Yeah, it was great. He had the killer visuals going on behind him and all the pedals running through his banjo. He was righteous.
Thank you much, brother man. We're at the end of the second hour, July 6, 2022, Beagle Show. Hold tight for hour two. July 6, 2022. It's the third hour of the Watt for Pete Real Show.
Well, I'm driving in my car at 3 a.m. and I don't know where in the world I am. But it makes no difference if I don't know my way around. Cause I got a 7-Eleven in every town. I'm looking for a 7-Eleven.
Watching said I feel like we have met so many times before. Then I asked her, do you believe that our love was meant to last? She answered me with a kiss that turned into infinity. You're the only one in this world I could spend my life with. If we could live together, we'd be living in paradise.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a beautiful day today, and tomorrow's gonna be the same way. There ain't nothing bothering me now that I'm living in my own reality. The telephone rings, but I don't worry when I'm on the move. I don't hurry. Time and trouble mean nothing to me now that I'm living in my own reality. In my own reality, there's plenty of room for you and me. In my own reality, we will forever be free. We will forever be free.
For Pedro show, we started the third hour off Ben Vaughn doing Looking for a 7-Eleven. Crane from Idaho, you the pimp, living in paradise.
Hey, Crane.
Yep, Port Sunshine out of Hamburg, or Vettel, Bella Kirk, And then Hogwood, live in San Francisco from last month. This kind of a tribute band, right? Einstein's and the Neu Beatles. These guys were just set up on the street. People were like, they showed me the video. I took the audio I had. And then Al Margolis out of Chester, New York with the Imp. He's Monkey or If Bawana. And finally, In My Own Reality, Ben Vaughn. So tell me about this new stuff, Ben.
Well, I recorded, I'm playing all the instruments on it. It's one of those one-man band records. That was really...
I'm curious, Mike, because I know about some that are really famous, you know, people like Dave Grohl and Stevie Wonder and Prince. What was your process? What was first?
Well, you know, it's interesting. My inspiration, like when I first started messing around with recording, a friend of mine, this is like in 1970 or 71, he had a four-track reel-to-reel, which is a big deal, yeah. You know. And but he wasn't a musician, so he asked me to come over and play all the instruments so he could learn how to engineer.
Ah.
And so my earliest experience as a, you know, someone in a recording situation was a one-man band thing, and we were really into that Dave Edmunds record that came out.
Sure.
Yeah. That had I Hear You Knocking On It. He's playing everything.
He had a hit with
that. Yeah, and he's playing all the instruments on that record, and it's really pretty far out. I listened to it again recently, and it's really weird.
what came first with you? Was it the drums?
I lay down the drums.
Because I think that's the way those three guys I mentioned, I think that was their process. The drums were first.
Well, no, actually what I do is I lay down acoustic guitar and a vocal, and then I play to that because I always want to be making sure that I remember what song I'm playing. Because I'm sure you know this. You've been in enough situations where you're laying down a bass line to maybe just the drums, and about a half hour later you're like, okay, what song is this? you lose your perspective really fast.
Right, right.
And you're just trying to perfect like eight measures. You know,
that guitar is going to be keeper or is it a scratch?
It's a scratch because it's on one mic. It's just guitar, acoustic guitar and vocal.
Okay.
And so I'm playing along to the song at all times. And I always pretend that I'm Doug Clifford of Creedence.
Creedence. Like I had him on the show. I asked him about, you know, what was with the 18-inch hi-hats. He said, I thought the Creedence need a little more tone. Mm-hmm. They used a lot of eighth notes. Now, I recorded with Greg Sarnier. He had fucking 21 inches. He, in fact, they had to have holes in the bottom one because they wouldn't close, you know. But anyway,
wow.
Okay.
Wow.
So where was it recorded? Do you have a studio in your pad?
I do. What happened is I'd written a batch of songs, and I was getting ready to go into a studio, like a real studio with musicians backing me up, and then COVID hit. And I have a home recording studio that I hadn't used that much. I hadn't really tested it out in a long time, you know.
Right.
So I did some repairs, and then I just started cutting these songs, playing all the instruments, and I really got into it. And there were no distractions because it was the early days of lockdown. So no one was coming over, and I wasn't going out.
Lots of focus.
It was an incredible amount of focus, like, you know, hours like that I probably would have not had the opportunity to spend that, you know, in that focused of a manner.
Sounds like the lemonade maker story. There's a project here in Pedro that would never happen without that situation. The show
really?
Will go you sometimes, yeah. I want to play here, I'm Sorry, But So Is Brenda Lee.
When you're young, you do what you think you're supposed to. There ain't no big hand up in the sky reaching down to guide you. I thought I loved you, I made a promise that I couldn't keep. Yeah, I'm sorry, but so is Brenda Lee. It was gonna be blue skies from now on.
I guess I went mine. And I guess you got your reasons for being unkind. But it's okay, 'cause I don't miss the way things used to be. Yeah, I'm sorry, but so is Brenda Lee. Yeah, I'm sorry, but so is Brenda Lee.
at selective service and the people made me nervous. So I asked the sergeant why they made me come. He said, do just what you're ordered or we'll have you drawn and quartered. You're a lousy commie, peace be pippy bum. He said, are you now perverted or a Quaker unconverted? Do you think you'll make the army your career? I said, I think I'll pass this one off, cause I've never held a gun up and I've never quite perfected how to sneer. Just demoralized, more love is it's on a size my fatal flaw. He said, don't you know berating and good mastermind evading have become the fashion and indeed the law. He said, words to be propulsive must be clammy and repulsive, or at least be mentioned more than once by Freud. I said, thanks for that appraisal, but I think a few more days will find me hungry, school, but gainfully employed. Just be more love is thank you.
day starts with a broken heart. I must be too sensitive for this world. Well, I know it ain't right to cry every night. I must be too sensitive for this world. In the world is such a callous place. It's a wonder. It's a wonder. It's a wonder. Anyone survives. In the sky just make me cry. I must be too sensitive for this world. I don't think I can last until these bad times pass. I must be too sensitive for this world.
tracks upon the fingers. Holy God,
Pedro Show. Last music for this edition. I'm sorry, but so is Brenda Lee, Ben Vaughn. Then we had Screepers, Papers, Blessed and Highly Favored, The Soft White Underbelly, which people who know the Blois Tricot might guess was a former, this is a different singer and bass player, but former incarnation. The Electra Sessions and Demos, Rational Passional. I think Richard Meltzer might have wrote the words. And finally, Ben Vaughn, Too Sensitive for This World. So when you went to do the one-man thing on these songs, you had a batch written already? You had demos?
Not demos. I was, you know, they were in my head. I write in my head. I don't write with an instrument in my hand. I write when I'm either walking or driving my car.
Do you use, like, the little tape recorder or your leash with the memo mode or something?
What I used to do is call... go to a payphone and call my machine and
yes.
sing the song into my machine.
That's Econo. I love that.
Yeah. And now with the cell phone, you can just, you know, the voice memo now.
Right. And,
but yeah.
Because they're gone, right? They leave. They don't come quote the Raven.
Oh, they really do. And when I listen to the recordings back a few weeks later, I don't even remember writing it. I'm like, what the fuck?
Like, so does the music come first, then the words? Do you have a notebook of words?
No, they come at the same time. It's pretty weird.
You mean they inform each other?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I usually usually start with a title, and then work backwards.
You do. That's what I'm
really. Yeah, it's a good.
You're like, you're one of the only dudes I know that they always put the titles on last.
No, I start with it because what am I serving, right?
With me, yeah, I need a focus. Yeah.
Yeah, what am I serving? Like, right. Why am I writing this? Well, because right. I have a great title.
Okay.
and it deserves respect and good music, you know.
Yeah. So it's almost like you put on the down payment on the work, on the piece. Okay.
Yeah.
And so, and the way, did you do assembly line or was it one tune at a time?
One song at a time.
Yeah, okay.
And I would live inside that song until it was finished, and then I would move on to the next.
That would become the world, right? Okay.
Yeah.
And, yeah, because maybe the assembly line, they get a little too Bobby, Marlon Brando, a little Bobby DiGennaro. Maybe. Yeah, I found that, too. You know, when you're young and you're trying to do the records, Econo and stuff, they're almost like playing gigs in front of people. But when you got your own... It's not all bad new days, because one of the things about having your own pad, right, you can keep coming back.
Yeah, it was really great. It was a great experience for me. My bass playing, I've never been much of a bass player. And I finally figured out what the fourth string is for. So that was a major revelation for my music, actually.
What kind of bass you got?
A Fender Precision.
Yeah, of course. And it is. Do you think four string guitar? Because, you know, as I've gone down the road with this thing, I'm thinking more four string drum set.
Well, I have a four string guitar, a tenor guitar.
Ah, okay.
That someone gave me, and I'm a big Tiny Grimes fan.
Sure, sure.
Wow. And he played a four string guitar on all that stuff.
Also,
you know,
Lou Barlow with his Sebago stuff, he did a four string.
Oh, did he really?
He's trying
I didn't know
to be
that.
Anti J, I think. Look at this little tininess next to your bigness. Yeah. So, interesting. How long on the bass?
How long?
Yeah.
How long have I been playing it?
Yeah.
Oh, I started playing it back when I was a teenager, but I never really sat with it and thought about it much. You know, I played bass like a guitar player.
Okay, but you've learned now to work with it with the drum set, right?
Yeah.
Kick
now
drum. The closest note is a kick drum, right?
Yeah, and I know when to walk and when not to. You know. Because you can really ruin a song when you start walking it.
Big time.
It's like
this Jenny Fusion song.
Yeah.
They're the worst. I tell people they want to know bass. You know, it's not the guy with the most strings and most notes. Just go to YouTube.com and find every song with James Jamerson and listen to that.
For real, yeah.
Incredible guy. Played with one finger. And he came from the stand-up world.
It shows. One finger, definitely play. His approach was like an upright guy, even when he's on electric.
Yeah, because all the other great session bass players from those days, they're guitar players looking for work. James Jamerson's a little different.
Yeah, you're right. Carole Kaye, guitar player.
Right. And Joe Osborne, great, right? But guitar guy, but they need. Right? No one wanted to rock the bass. And then the thing about the stand-up, you couldn't really record them right with the rock and roll to come over the AM radio speaker.
Yeah, so they had to plug in.
But that's so interesting that you'll... What about keyboard? You do that stuff too?
I do. I would never allow someone to hire me to play for them.
But that's the great thing about the one-man band.
Yeah, I can write a part and I can play it in a recording situation, but beyond that, I'm not... I didn't grow up with a piano in the house, you know, I'm really envious of anyone who grew up with a piano in the house because, boy, that's something
I've had a lot of them on the show, and it's not so much the piano in the house, it's the piano teacher that comes to the house and beats your fucking knuckles for blowing clams. Some cats wanted to quit music because of the experience. It's like, whoa. Where can people find you on the internet, Ben?
BenVaughn.org.
People, BenVaughn.org.
Yes.
And what's next?
I just got back from Spain. Just got back from a tour of Spain, and I'm going to be going back there again. My first album from 1986 is finally going to be reissued after being out of print since 1986. So that's pretty exciting. And writing new songs.
Yeah, you have newer stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And is it going to be like one-man band mode?
No, I think I'm going to... I was trying to think of something funny. Who could back me up that would make you laugh? And I couldn't think of anything. Sorry. I was going to say, you know.
Bye-bye.
I don't know. I really want to work with the Archies. You know, it's been a dream of mine for a long time, and I'm kind of hoping we're going to do a little collaboration.
I think
Carole
Kaye was on the bass on those.
She probably, actually, yeah, having the Archies back you up would be like the best of the best, actually.
Right. Well, look, when you get this together, will you come back on the show?
I will, with the Archies. I'll bring them with me.
With the Archies, of course. We can do a conference call with the Skype.
Yeah. Yeah, Jughead, line two.
Man, big honor to have you aboard. Keep on keeping on, Brother Ben.
I had a great time. Thanks.
Okay, people, it's been the July 6, 2022 edition of Wapito Show. Keep your powder dry.